Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
What's up, gang? Hey, two in the books, one to go. It's been fun. It's been a pretty good show.
Pretty good?
Yeah.
More than pretty good, Joe.
Mr. Conservative, don't ever get too excited. No highs or lows.
We're making sweet love to their ears with this show. That good.
That's why we encourage you to donate to yoursperm.com.
Your face was, I just went and got my shirt.
Yeah, how about that?
Oh, these shirts, hold on.
They're outstanding.
These shirts are great. So yeah, on the front of the shirt, it says hashtag Throwback Thursday, and it's a picture of a swimmer. Yeah. On the back, it says beaspermdonor.com.
And by the way, he didn't mean like Michael Phelps.
Yeah, not like that. Yeah. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, and they loved us because we talked about them yesterday, because we gave you guys options in terms of, you don't want to have a real 9-to-5 and work for a living. There are other options.
I solved my money-making issues now. Well,
good. At least the plasma will give you a more comfortable...
The plasma.
It's that return tube.
This is easier. You can do this twice a week.
Thank God. Now you find out there's no return tube.
Yeah.
At the end of it. If you missed that, podcast it, because it was good stuff. But we definitely have a lot to talk about. There is, by the way, a Thursday night football game tonight. But before we get to that, you have been monitoring the text lines diligently. Yes. And for all of you that just come through in the clutch and tell us how great we are, we appreciate you. But there are some people that really want to take brass tacks and get down to business, too, and you have to address all of them.
Yeah, some people hate us, and that's all right, too. That's what makes this country great. Is that you can choose to hate us or not and listen or not. Somebody said, everyone's saying that Brock hasn't had good starts, but then why pay him like a vet? Aha! That is actually a really good question.
Yeah.
I don't know who texted that in, but you know what? Makes a valid point. We're all saying, well, he went 5-2 as a starter before he came. Why pay him the money? Good question. I think it was because they didn't have any other options. They weren't going to do it in the draft. So
I told you, I think they panicked a little bit. It's not like a panic, like it's, you know, like critical. But I think that they were so tired of hearing that everybody said, this is a really good football team. They've done the revolving door with quarterbacks, and they know it's the most glaring problem and weakness that they have. And because of the fact that Bill O'Brien was supposed to take two of his pupils, and being able to take one of them with two options into a starter, when all those things didn't work out with Mallett and Hoyer, it kind of made it more of a pressing need, and it kind of got to the point where they, not that I say knee-jerk, but they reacted more quickly than they had to, simply because they felt like time was running out on the fan base and everybody being patient.
Yeah. It was the best move that they had. Similar to the Ty Lawson thing. It was the best move.
We don't know what moves they had.
Well, they could have traded to
move
sign?
Up. They could have made a trade to move up in the draft. Look at what happened with Denver. They got a guy that looks like he's going to be their franchise quarterback.
Yeah, but, well.
I'm just saying.
All right.
Dak Prescott was out there.
Well, you didn't know.
Okay,
Dak
you didn't know,
was,
right, but I'm just
yeah,
saying.
You're not,
plenty
you're
of
not making a move
whether
and saying
you wanted
Dak is your
Goff
solution.
Or Wentz or whoever you wanted, there were quarterbacks to be had. And so far, the rookie quarterbacks that have played have shown that they belong and they could be franchise quarterbacks. They
Goff's might not even playing.
No, I'm saying, you hear what I said? I said, of those that have played.
Oh, okay.
I said, you could have traded up to get a Goff.
But here's the thing.
Or a Wentz.
But here's.
Or several, you know, or several
thing.
Other guys.
They would have gone and gotten Goff, and that they would, and then everyone would have been like, this dude
top.
Is terrible.
You didn't have to go all the way to the top. I'm saying, if you're Denver, look what you got when you traded down to get him.
Yeah, but that's Tom Savage, essentially.
That's the Tom Savage move.
He's a fourth rounder like Dak. Who got the better end of that deal?
I'm saying you could have traded up. So if you're a quarterback and you go in like, I forget the exact ratio, but it's like if you're a quarterback, you go in the first 2.5 rounds, there is the assumption that at some point you'll be a starter in the NFL. If you go after that, the only one that really broke the bank was Tom Brady. But other than that,
I never heard of that
you're going to be like a backup. You know, and Savage or TJ Yates or all these different guys that are out there. I'm just giving you guys for knowledge that you can grasp onto. But a lot of those guys, they could be career backups. They could be serviceable spot starters, but they're not expected when they go later to be that successful. But you never know. I mean, you could stumble on a Brady. You could find a Dak Prescott. But I'm just saying, I don't want to limit them because we don't know all the options that they had, but we know the option that they capitalized on by making the deal to get Osweiler. But we don't know. They could have there could have been deals on the table to move up in the draft.
There was no better free agent quarterbacks available.
I didn't say free agent. Well, that's, you didn't know if there was a deal on the table where they could have traded up in the draft.
I think this team had already taken chances.
And then you don't have Will Fuller.
But this team had already taken chances on the quarterback. I think they needed to make a move that they felt was going to be more solid. And they felt like the fact that Brock went 5-2 as a starter and learned under Peyton Manning and played in the Broncos system, that maybe he was more solid than going out and drafting a rookie or any of the other free agents that were already proven to be bleh or okay.
I think they freaked a little bit. I think they pulled the trigger a little more quickly than they probably would have liked. But like I said, I'm not saying it's not going to work out.
All right. So we got some more. Somebody said Andrew Luck is better than Brock. Don't be surprised if they lose. Yeah, that's kind of a given, though. Yeah,
the first part is like a no-brainer, yeah. Especially for right now. But the second part, I've already said, I'm very concerned about this game. And if they lose it, I would be concerned about the season.
Somebody said if Brock is Chloe, then the Texas D is Kim K because they're about to get robbed. That's pretty fun.
Wow, some of these guys.
They are bringing it today. I like it. I dig it. Somebody else said it was a desperation move. I mean, it wasn't a desperation move. They knew they needed to do something.
They had to make
a splash. There's a big difference. Yeah.
They had to make a splash.
That's what I'm saying. It's not. I wouldn't say desperation, but I wouldn't say that this was an educated, with plenty of time, non-rush decision either. I think that they felt the pressure, and they reacted a little quicker than they would have otherwise done.
Somebody said McNair mandated to get a QB, so they either had to do it for draft or free agency.
And that's also a possibility because people forget.
Well, that was the case.
People just forget how it's – if owners these days are not like in years past where they hire some other people to not only buy the groceries but make the dinner and serve it. They are hands-on. They are knee-deep in all of this stuff. And from every decision that goes on in the franchise, that's part of the beauty of being an owner. You, if you choose to, can be involved in all of it.
Boy, I just don't know. I don't want owners. I mean, even Jerry Jones, look at some of the stuff that
he Dallas
does.
Is like just the glaring nuts. Example of over the top.
Could you imagine?
Cuban's over the top.
But could you imagine if David Gow came down here and told us what to talk about each segment? Because that's literally what it would
and
be like.
And sat right there. Because if you're Mark Cuban, you sit right behind the head coach.
I mean,
right
I'm sure bench, David Gow is really right? smart. But when it comes to it, you don't want that. You know what I mean?
But some people
Jerry Jones is
smart.
That's
what I'm talking about, the added pressure, too. Because like Jerry Jones being the general manager as well as the owner, that's a bit much.
I get the Jerry Jones thing, but Mark Cuban.
You do?
But Mark Cuban, you think
Mark
players
Cuban. Are we talking about the donations
Mark Cuban.
Again?
Mark Cuban.
Yeah, are we going you donations again,
really,
or are we?
But do you think players are really that bothered by Mark Cuban?
They can be, yes.
Like all his antics, and especially when he won the championship.
They love when he's a cheerleader and support, right? But when during a game he starts getting in players' ears, and he starts talking to the coaches, and he starts meddling, that's when they're like, let us do our jobs you hired us to do. I know from experience from people that have been in that situation that he goes over the top. And from a Jerry Jones perspective, my perspective on that is, and my opinion on that is, look, it's okay that you're the owner. You're still going to have a say-so, but get an educated guy that has experience as a general manager making personnel decisions.
Exactly.
Because you can't do it all, and you're being spread too thin anyway.
Ike said on Twitter, at Ike U the Real said, I remember secretly being bummed when they didn't go after RG3. Kind of thought he might have been better. It's like shaking my head. What was I thinking? What the hell was I thinking? Yeah, see, that's the thing. That was their options. They had guys like RG3 that were available. Man, you're not going to go do that. They did the best they could do in the situation that they were in, other than being able to see the future and understand that Carson Wentz and Dak Prescott were going to be as good as they are, which no one could have expected.
Carson Wentz, you know, everybody said he was one of the top three for the first round.
But do you expect him to be as good as he is right now?
So
no.
First of all, everybody realizes I can't argue with this man, and we disagree more than we agree, but that's okay. That's what makes good radio, of course.
Yeah.
So we've got Adrian on hold, and so yo, Adrian, you want to chime in on Brock Osweiler? Welcome to the show.
What's up, fellas?
What's up, man?
Hey, man, how's Paulie doing? I haven't caught up with Paulie in a while.
I don't know. He's doing pretty good. I got him back there planting tomatoes right now. Hey, Paulie, they said hello, huh? Friends for tomatoes, then you get your booze.
That's what I'm talking about.
I love it. That's great.
So give Adrian a kiss, Paulie, and bring it, my man. What do you got on Brock?
All right, I finally figured out what Brock the Knot needs. He needs the Fitzpatrick treatment.
Uh-oh.
We remember how bad Fitz was.
Yeah.
He broke his poor little finger on a helmet. He sat out 2 games. He saw the offense run. And then he came back, and his stats went through the roof, and now he's playing for big money.
And crap in the bed again. You know what he needs now? Exactly. Another broken finger.
Exactly. I don't care how he breaks it. I don't care if he's running out the tunnel and tripped. Savage. Time to get macho, baby. Run the offense.
Adrian, what? I'm not mad at you. This is a really good take. I was saying some guys talking about this the other night, and I was saying whether you would say you'd put him on IR, which you could bring him back from, and that might be too long. But if he continues to struggle because you still have aspirations of this man being your franchise quarterback, if there is a way to give him a rest for a little bit, because it takes a lot of the heat off with the media and everything else, and like you said, it allows him to get a different perspective so maybe he sees how the coaches really think this offense runs best. It's a great point.
Yeah. Anything else, man?
Yeah, because if you don't get it then, fellas, we all know. Hey, Bill, you're that little cockroach under the table watching the elephants. Shame on you. Later, fellas.
Hey, man, thanks for the call, Adrian.
Thanks, buddy. Don't be a stranger. We appreciate the love. Definitely, that's when the Kingsford and the lighter fluid is spread abound on underneath that chair, and it heats up in a hurry.
Somebody said Brock Osweiler is a result of media and fan pressure on Rick Smith. Don't we remember that we were all calling for his head, and as soon as he was signed, everyone went silent. That's from the Mad Llama on the text.
You got a picture of a Mad Llama, too.
Yeah, I did. Somebody tweeted me like a goat.
Yeah, that's your boy Doc.
Saying that it was a nudie, but I'm like, well, I am an Aggie fan, and so that might be apropos.
To the competing stations, well, like we said.
Did they? Yeah.
Yeah. FM's always better than AM, so join us.
Here was one more text. This is not a bad point, and it goes back to a previous draft and stuff we've been talking about. It says the Texans needed to do something when they took Clowney because they need Carr, Bortles, Bridgewater were all better. So, and you brought that up earlier, though. You were saying that they couldn't have got out and got David Carr, but chose Derek Carr, excuse me. Yeah, so it's a good point.
Yeah, I mean, that's the same kind of concept. If you're going to be a panic button guy on you know, jumping too quickly to get a quarterback this year, it's also because you had the panic button. If you drafted another car and that car was donated to Cars for Kids again, that you would have a bigger problem on your hands. So that's why there's a lot of people that don't realize just how much outside noise plays into inside decisions down on Kirby. We are ESPN 97.5 FM.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Did I tell you that story?
Yeah, y'all are wild.
Did I tell you that story?
Yeah, you told me.
Okay.
Y'all are wild.
That's something that we can't use on air.
You guys are wilding out during the break.
We have
I can't hang with y'all.
Off air sometimes than on air, yeah.
Yeah, good times.
So we've been talking enough about the Texans.
Yeah.
So the Texans' old coach got another medical issue. And it's not, I guess it's not good, it's not bad, per se, long term, but Gary Kubiak, remember, had the health scare and collapsed at the end of a game here. After the game last week, a game in which they lost to the Falcons, you would think that he probably had a health scare because his team just crapped the bed, but no. They were saying it was like flu-like symptoms that caused him to go to the hospital, but it evidently was more serious than people thought because he needed some extra time in the hospital, and now they're saying he will not coach because of the short week tonight as the Broncos try and redeem themselves from an absolute stinker against Atlanta, which everybody pretty much had written into the books as a W for the Broncos. Trevor Siemian is now expected to play tonight for the Broncos, as he returns to the starting lineup after getting hurt in the Tampa game when his non-throwing shoulder was jammed into the ground. Your thoughts early on a game which features three of my fantasy players, which I'm not sure I'm going to play because they're all for the Chargers. The Broncos defense is damn good, as we know, but the Broncos offense has to show up, and I cannot believe Atlanta did what they did to the Broncos last week.
Yeah, that I think that surprised quite a few people. Atlanta, it's, as a team, has surprised quite a few folks, I think. I don't think anyone expected them to get off to this kind of start, even though they did it last year.
Well, how about the fact that they beat the two Super Bowl teams of a year ago in consecutive weeks?
Yeah.
They beat the Panthers, and then they beat the Broncos.
Yeah, and no doubt, man.
And Julio Jones was not really effect. I mean, he didn't really kill
them. Right, he wasn't as big a factor as you would expect.
Yeah, first of all, I hope Kubiak gets better soon.
For sure.
No one wants to see that. Did they say who's going to be filling in as the interim for this game?
This is another strange decision. It's not Wade.
No?
No,
that's why I asked.
It's the special teams coach.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I knew it wasn't Wade, but I forgot the guy's name. Yeah.
You got Wade, who is an ex-NFL guy, a head coach with the Cowboys, knows the league, knows everything. I don't know if they're just so worried that he focuses solely on the defense because it's such a vital thing for them right now with the offense kind of in flux a little bit or what. But Wade's not the head guy tonight. The special teams guy is. That to me was surprising.
Yeah, that is interesting. I don't understand what went into that thought, right? Like, I don't know. That's weird. All right. I think, though, they're going to be fine because how many more ways is San Diego going to find to lose a game? They seem
They
seem to just be shooting themselves in the foot. And they're not a horrible team statistically. I mean, they've scored more points than they've allowed through the five games that they've played. I think they're fourth in rushing. They're eighth in rushing on offense, they're eighth in run stopping on defense. So they're not a terrible team.
No, I mean, look, they were winning in I think all four of the games that they were in that they found a way to lose. Three of them?
Yeah.
And the game against New Orleans, if you kept thinking that they just couldn't find another way to lose, the game against New Orleans again, I'm watching because I have Philip Rivers.
Yeah,
I have my boy Melvin Gordon, and I got Benjamin at receiver. So I'm watching all three of these guys. They got a 13-point lead, and successively, which kicked me in the groin in both sides, the left one and the right one, I take a fumble from Gordon, which New Orleans gets and turns into a touchdown.
Yeah.
And on the very next play after the kickoff, Benjamin gets like 15. I'm like, yeah, baby, there's more points. And at the end of it, not even touched, he tries to go down on his own, coughs it up. New Orleans gets it again, goes all the way down the field, scores again. And oh, by the way, that was all within like 50 seconds. And now there's less than 2 minutes to go in the game, and Rivers can't move it down the field, and they lose the game. They have been in control of three quarters of their games.
Yeah,
and they found a way to lose.
It's unbelievable, man. Like, I don't know. I feel bad for them because you know that when you see some of the faces, like when you were talking about those two plays, man, to see some of the faces of those guys on the sidelines, it's just like, are you serious?
There has to be. Like, that's a great point.
How?
There has to be a training course for guys on the sidelines to realize you're on camera at all times because you can see Philip Rivers is a real emotional guy.
Yeah.
And he was the guy they kept going back to. And he had so many things teed up on the edge of his tongue to let fly and just didn't do it. And I was like, you're a better man than me, man. Because when I see my teammates, as much as I love my teammates, if I see something like that happen, I am going to show the emotion of, oh, my God, you can't be serious.
Yeah. I hate it because I'm the kind of guy like I can't hide. Like if I was on the sidelines, that would be me.
That's
too.
What I'm saying.
I would be so disgusted, and everyone would know that I was disgusted because you just let the emotions get the best of you in a situation like that. What surprised me when I was looking up stats for the Chargers because I'm like, you know, they're what, 1-4?
They're Daryl Morey of the show right here.
They're 1-4, but statistically, I felt like they've been playing well, and they have. Do you know that they're averaging 30.4 points a game, which is second best in the NFL?
They got to be one of the better losing record teams in the NFL for sure.
This is just like saying Eli Manning is a top five passer in this league in terms of yards.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, no one would have expected that either.
No.
And Rivers has had like, I think, and he won't, I don't think he'll get it tonight, right? But he's had like 300 plus yard games, I think, in every game to start this season. And going back to last season, I think it's like five or six in a row. So, you know, I mean, look, Keenan and Travis have both been on record as saying between the two guys, Drew Brees and Philip Rivers, and they're both Phil Rivers guys. That surprised me a lot too, but that says a lot about Philip Rivers.
Yeah, it does. I mean, to get an endorsement like that from guys that have played and know what they're talking about, man.
I got one for you.
Okay.
Right? All right. It stays on this discussion.
Okay.
But in a do you know, not a did you know.
Okay.
Do you know Joe DeCamillis?
Huh?
Joe DeCamillis is going to play a huge factor. He's going to be a huge factor in this game tonight.
Huh?
Meet special teams coach Joe DeCamillis, who's now going to be the head coach of the Denver Broncos.
The hell?
He did interview for the job for Chicago in 2013.
That's the Bears.
You totally
You want to go back?
Hold on. You totally
I didn't. But yeah, but maybe that's why. Hey. Maybe that's why.
Do you want to go back and get the Bennett brothers to start quoting on the Chicago
Wade
Bears?
Phillips. Oh, yeah.
Just out of curiosity.
You've got Wade Phillips on the staff. Why are you going with the special team coach that hardly anyone really knows about?
Why would they interview him, though? Why would they interview him for a head coaching position?
You're talking about Wade Phillips. He's had head coaching experience. And when he filled in for Kubiak the last time this happened, he did just fine. I don't understand.
By the way, Joe DeCamillis looks like an angry Mark Brunell.
Does he?
Yeah, you want to see him?
Oh, yeah, he sure does, doesn't he?
Yeah. But I don't get it.
Special teams coach is so angry.
Yeah, but I don't get it, man. I mean, look. I was going to say Green Bay's special teams coach, Ron Zook, was a head coach on several levels. Mm-hmm. So you get that. I've never heard of Joe DeCamillis, and that might be on me, right? But when you got Rick Dennison, who was with Gary here, was associate head coach, and you got Wade Phillips, as we both said, is the first choice in both of our minds, I don't understand why you make that decision.
Well, maybe throwing him a bone. Maybe it's so he can go and use it to.
I would say, and the other thing is, it's probably because you want your coordinators to be so focused on just both sides
of
the
ball.
More
than anything else.
Yeah, that's probably a good point.
Yeah.
By the way, just the last stat I'll use. The problem with San Diego.
Darryl, go ahead.
The problem with San Diego is, of course, they're scoring 30 a game, but they're giving up 28.4, which is fourth worst in the league. So that may have something to do with the 1-4. But I bet you, if you look at their turnover ratio, that's the key stat or the key difference in there is how piss poor that is.
Can we call him Sam Laminicki? Hey. He's like Sam Hinkie, only he's Sam Laminicki.
There's nothing wrong with a couple of stats every now and then.
Analytics superstar?
No. You know, if I didn't do it, you know what people would say? Barry never talks about sports. Like, all he does is he just tries to make jokes.
And hey, Bear.
Sometimes I'll throw out some stats.
Do you think the Texans could have done something? I'll tell you what. Huh? I'll tell you what. I'm going to tell you something right now.
All right. Does it involve stats?
No, this involves.
I don't want to hear
it. Because I'm looking at the Broncos page on ESPN.
Okay.
And it has their draft picks from this year.
Okay. Do I need to pull this up?
You mentioned Wentz several times.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't even talk about Goff. Right, because Goff was way up high in the Texans, and we were talking about moves the Texans could have made, and we didn't know what was on the table.
Yeah.
How about this? How about they didn't have to make a single move, and they didn't have to go into free agency? How about, and again, it's up for you guys to decide as well, how about the fact that they drafted Paxton Lynch at number 26? So you could have just used your pick and gotten Paxton Lynch.
What is Paxton Lynch going to do for you, though?
Could be your franchise quarterback.
Well, so could Brock.
But $17 million, $72 million on the table later, you don't know yet.
You're going to turn over this franchise to Paxton Lynch?
I would rather take the risk of a guy that I'm not paying $17 million a year unless I'm damn sure. That's why I'm just trying to prove my point. They may have jumped a little quickly.
All right. I disagree with Paxton Lynch. I think your points about maybe moving up and getting Carson Wentz or Goff or whatever would be a much better argument than Paxton Lynch. But I don't know. I can't say this enough. They did the best that they could do with what this was not a great free agent draft for quarterbacks. It's usually not people. If you have a good quarterback, you don't let them become free agents. So I don't know. I don't know what else they could have done to make people happy.
Barry is going to start the campaigning at the end of the season for Joe DeCamillis to be the new head coach of the Houston Texans.
I'm just going
to
start reading stats, just random stats for no reason.
I've worked with people like that for years. I'm used to it. It's just that simple. But guess what?
Shots
now I work
fired.
With you guys, and
Shots
I love
fired.
It. I love working with you guys. Right here, ESPN 97.5 FM.
The best.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Hey, it's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack till 4 o'clock. Another good show today. We've done our best to try and keep it off of straight Texans talk. We've run the gamut. We span the globe to give you the best in sports and entertainment. And we were currently talking about the Thursday night football game.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure who I should play fantasy football-wise because, like I said, I've got Benjamin and I've got Gordon. Gordon leads the league in touchdowns, so I kind of got to play him, I guess.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So yeah,
I gotta play Gordon.
Although,
so my two quarterbacks, and I hate to do this because we're not going to do a fantasy football segment for the final half hour, but I got Bortles and I got Phillip.
Uh-huh.
I kind of got to go Phillip. Although Bortles is at, I think, the Bears. So I might go Jacksonville.
Yeah, don't go Rivers against the Broncos.
Yeah, Rivers against the Broncos is tough, right?
Yeah, that's not a good move.
And then watch, he'll light it up and I'll be really super pissed off.
I think your gamble is a safe one. And we had Sigmund Bloom on Sunday, and I also own Melvin Gordon, and this goes for all the Melvin Gordon owners. He was saying sell now, sell high on Melvin Gordon. So might be something
even
to consider.
Even though he's a Badger?
Traded. Yeah.
One of us. Can I just tell you this right now?
Sure.
If I got the right offer, I would definitely sell out.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
I think I'd sell I have Randall Cobb. Uh-huh. I would sell Randall Cobb, too, because I still am just not really pleased with the Packers offense. And you don't even know who their number one is right now. So I think I'd probably sell out on both those guys.
Well, speaking of this, we actually got a text. So this is relevant to our conversation. Mm-hmm. Somebody asked a quick fantasy question. Rivers or Matt Ryan this week? I don't know that I don't want to start Rivers.
I'd say Matt Ryan, no matter who they're playing.
Yeah, I don't want to start Rivers against that Broncos defense. No.
And by the way, the Texans have elevated cornerback Robert Nelson from the practice squad. What does that tell you about their chances of being healthy in the secondary against Andrew Luck this weekend? Not so good.
Yeah, when you're starting to have to bring in practice squad guys, that's getting thin. Of course, I mean, it's just for depth. He's not going to start or anything like that, but that's still...
So, Barry... We like to have certain catchphrases. We know the Kool-Aid one.
Mm-hmm.
We know don't be a Richard. We're building it, and we're having some fun with it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So one of the other ones that you know that I like to use is, if a tree falls in the woods and no one's there to hear it or listen to it, did it really fall?
Right.
We normally use that for our friends over at the Big Sequoia that play in the NBA.
Preseason. You're not going to use that in the regular season,
no,
are
you? But you know what I'm going to use it for?
Okay, what?
I'm going to use it for the fact that there is a deciding game in one of the three major sports tonight at 7 o'clock.
Hockey.
And it's not hockey.
Oh, it's not hockey.
Oh, don't you know? It is not hockey for the organization.
Soccer?
No, it's not soccer either.
Okay.
Glenn Davis will tell you that soccer matters. But I will tell you this. It is the baseball game 5 deciding game between the Dodgers and the Nationals from Washington, 7 o'clock Central Time. And I know that most people would turn it off and rather watch paint dry than watch it. I'm going to watch the game. I'm interested for a lot of reasons, but I love baseball. But again, how many of you are actually going to watch this game tonight? And the Dodgers, Burt Kershaw, so he's out.
Yeah.
So they're going with Hill, who's not a bad pitcher, who the Astros saw a good dose of with Oakland this year, Rich Hill. But Hill is okay, but Scherzer on the other side. I'd say advantage Nationals.
Oh, yeah.
Especially at home.
Yeah, I would take the Nationals in that. In fact, I may have to go with them to win the game because of that pitching matchup.
And I picked the Dodgers to win the series.
Listen, it's been said before, so I'm not breaking any ground or having any hot takes here, but I don't think that home field advantage in baseball usually gives the home team as big of an advantage as, say, like football or even basketball. But I think it can come into play a little bit, especially in the playoffs. Or it can backfire for you, like we saw with the Astros with the roof closed and the roof open in the year that they were forced to keep the roof closed as opposed to... Or was it open? No, they were forced to...
It's not as bad as the Texans.
I don't remember what the hell it was.
But I know it was a problem.
Yeah, yeah. So, but still, I think that pitching matchup is what is the real difference.
And here's the shocker, because you, Mr. Analytics, I'm going to give this to you. I'm going to give you a steady dose of yourself.
Okay.
But, you know, when you talk about big game pitchers, mm-hmm. and we know big game pitchers, they get a lot of money. David Price is one that I just always thought was one of the best left-handers. In playoffs, it's like night and day how bad he is. But I would say a guy named like Scherzer, who had just a phenomenal year again in the regular season, and has just been fantastic. I look at this and I say, Scherzer's a guy that I would expect to be lights out. You know what is his career playoff in 13 postseason games? These are his stats. 4-4, almost a 4 ERA, 3.93, 85 strikeouts in 65 2/3 innings. Kind of surprising to me.
Yeah, that is a bit surprising.
And he's lost four in a row now because he lost game one.
Yeah, he gave up 4 runs in 6 innings. That's a 6 ERA right there. So, yeah, that is a bit surprising. Hill hasn't done much better. He gave up, 4 runs in 4 innings, 4-plus innings in his outing? So, yeah.
He pitched game 2, which they lost.
Yep. I think I trust Scherzer more in that situation. Plus, that Nationals lineup.
How can you trust a guy? Well, you're a cat guy. That's exactly why you can do it. Because Barry's a cat guy, he can trust a guy that has two different colored
jeans,
eyes.
Cat
a white jeans wearing.
Hard nipple
cat
having.
Hard nipple having.
He pulled off the white jeans, all right, but are you going to ever wear that again? Because I don't think Joel's going to let it go.
Trusting a guy. Well, dude, he did the Joel thing for like 2 weeks. But do you trust a guy that has two? I mean, I could say if you're a cat lover, you can trust a guy with two different colored eyes. But have you ever looked into Matt Scherzer's eyes and realized on TV? It's kind of scary the dude's got two different colored eyeballs.
That is freaky. But I'm just going to say you definitely are the chick in this marriage because you're bringing up stuff from 2 weeks ago.
No, I can't. It's not 2 weeks ago. I can't outlive every time Kurt Lowe joins the show, another Joel festival.
Plus, you're bagging on my fashion, which is such a typical wife thing to do.
Bagging on it. You're the one that got
you're going
festive.
Out in that? Like, you were really on my wife.
You're the one, before anybody ever said anything, when we were in the back, said, now my wife said I could wear white jeans.
That's because Jong said something. Okay, he goes, what's up, Jong? White jeans? And I was like, no, my wife gave me permission. She said that the whole white jeans after Labor Day thing is not an issue anymore, especially down south where it's always hot. That's what I was told. I don't make these calls because you know what? I'll tell you the truth. No, we're going to talk about this now.
It's always hot down south. Well, okay, yeah. Well then.
I literally, this is a true story. I was at the Gap. All right. I was shopping at the Gap. I was at the Gap. They had the jeans on sale for like $10.
How did that just happen?
I called my wife and said, hey, can you wear white jeans after Labor Day or should I just go ahead and buy these and put them on? She goes, no, it's not a big deal. Get them. No one cares about that anymore except Jong and Joel. Those are the only ones that have brought it up to me.
Yeah, I mean,
no, he didn't care.
Oh,
he just said I pulled them off. I was rocking them.
Yeah, they're all right.
I had the Space Jam Jordans going with the Ghetto Boy shirt.
That you paid way too much.
I was styling, man. What are you kidding me?
But he was more worried about scuffing his J's than getting the scuff on his jeans.
He was scuff with him in the hallway, and he was worried about his $450 he paid for them J's.
I tried to leg kick him because it reminded me of we did a Muay Thai class together, and I tried to and I was wearing AJ's leg out that time, so I tried to do it again, but he caught it. Damn near scuffed my Space Jam Jordans, which I paid a grip for those. I'm not going to lie, man. You can't be scratching those. We would have fought for real. I probably would have lost, but I don't care. It's go time. I'd have gone nickel on the court on that one. Yeah. It's go time now, baby.
Wow. We got a lot of pent-up emotions in this studio sometimes. And I didn't talk about myself.
Oh, you're talking about you?
No, I'm not even talking
Speaking
about
Speaking of me. Shoes, you're pretty bitter about your shoes, Joel.
Yeah, what happened to their old flat tire?
Yeah, so...
Your Agassi broke down on you.
No, Aunt McEnroe.
Oh, McEnroe. But, whatever.
I'm a bit of a shoe guy. Uh-huh. I mean, I collect them. But as I told you, I do store them in... My wife has a problem with how many shoes I have. And she doesn't understand the whole concept of being... What do we call them? What's the name for
connoisseurs?
No, there's a name for like when you're a shoe head.
Chick.
No, you're a shoe head.
Being a chick.
No, I've seen your shoes. You're a chick shoe. You're a bit of a shoe head where you collect the
sneaker
Jordans.
Head. A sneaker head.
There you go. Yeah. And so... We have a storage unit, and I put a lot of them there. But because she doesn't like a lot of my – she doesn't want all my jock stuff in the house. I keep it in the garage. So I have shelves full of these shoes. But what I found out is Nikes do not hold up well over time and or in any kind of non-climate-controlled environment. So I grabbed these throwback – the McEnroe Classics, which I love. They're very comfortable. And I went down the hall, and I thought I was being followed by a gaggle of ducks. And it just so happens that the bottom tread is falling off one of the shoes, and it annoys the hell out of me.
Well, why are you right now sitting with one shoe on and one shoe off? What's going on over there?
So it doesn't pull off even more until I can find a short-term fix to get it home so I can shoe
one shoe on and one shoe off right now.
I absolutely do. There's absolutely no question about it. I don't deny
that. And I'm the weirdo. I'm the weirdo in here, right?
What's confusing to me is that...
I'm prolonging the tennis shoes.
Well, see, that's the thing. I figured that shoe would be prolonged considering you have so many and you wear so many different... How did that wear out?
I was willing to give you a pair of shoes because you played basketball in... glorified
like running Nike
training
shoes,
track shoes.
Yeah. Bad move. I know.
Yeah. So I was willing to share, but I do. I have a lot of shoes.
So climate control, like the rest of the shoes aren't like climate.
Yeah, so for all you shoe heads out there, sneaker heads out there, you realize too, and you got to be careful with this. Nike that had the foamposite or foam within the shoe, after about 3 to 5 years, even climate controlled, the actual bottom of the shoe will disintegrate and fall apart.
That's why I keep mine in a plastic container. I'm telling you, that works so well.
I had Kenny Smith shoes from the 94 or 95 finals, never taken out of the box, right? Brand new. Took them out of the box, and the foam bottoms just started to like you had a cupcake in your hand. You started to like watch it just, it was terrible.
Because
it was
hungry.
Held in the garage.
No, those weren't in the garage. Those were in climate controlled storage.
Wow.
Yeah, that's terrible. That's what I'm saying. The Nike Air back then was actually just bad foam. Just letting you know. It's an inside information you only get here. I'm just
Somebody
telling
asked me when my Space Jams, were they 2Ks or 2009s? They were 2009s.
He went black on black with the black patent leather on black.
It's the 2009.
Hey, I got married in the 11 Lows white with the black patent leather.
That's ballin'.
Yeah, I got married in those.
What'd she wear? Did she wear just heels?
No, she just wore heels. Yeah.
Okay.
Her Jimmy Choo's. Huh? Jimmy Choo's.
Oh, I'm guessing she had to tell me.
I assume that's a good
shoe. That's like a, yeah.
But I will say this. I was the only one in the 11s because it was my day too. Uh-huh. So my whole wedding party had limited edition black and white Air Force Ones. But you're not wearing the J's, only on them. We took pictures outside the our reception was at the Rice Hotel. Uh-huh. And out on the street at midnight when we were leaving, and it was the couple leaving. It was obviously down there near downtown where everybody's out drinking. Uh-huh. And like they're posing us for a picture, and out of the blue I hear, "Damn, old boy got married in some J's, yo!" And they just came and joined the party, and it was just one big happy celebration.
Nice.
See, so it's a good thing. I'm all for it. You get sneaker knowledge as well as personal knowledge.
I love
you
that
join
story.
Our show 1-4 Monday through Friday, ESPN 975 FM.
ESPN 97.5.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Hey, Joel Blank and Barry Laminack till 4 o'clock. We've got one segment left. We want to get to it. But before we get to it, I want to remind you guys that there's something you can do for kids in Houston and try to make a difference within your community. And it's all about Houston Can's Cars for Kids program. There are several kids out there. There's tons of kids in this community that are trying to get out of a bad situation and make something of their lives. Sometimes they had a first opportunity and it didn't work out for them. Well, there's something you can do that can help them get to their goals in life. And that is to donate a vehicle to the Houston Can's Cars for Kids program. It doesn't have to even be working. It could be a clunker that you've had in your backyard or in a garage or in storage or in a lot somewhere that is just collecting dust, and you've been thinking about getting rid of it and you don't know what to do with it. Well, I can tell you something. Instead of selling it, you can get the same amount of money in return in a tax deduction if you just donate it to the Cars for Kids program. All you got to do is pick up the phone, call 713-225-4226, or you can get on HoustonCarsForKids.com, and you just mention the fact that you have a car or a vehicle, a boat, a trailer, a motorcycle, you want to donate it. They'll do the rest. From that point on, they'll get your address, they'll come to you, they'll tow it away. It's all free of charge. They'll process all the paperwork and the donation, as I mentioned, tax deductible. So you get rid of the clunker, they take it out of your space, wherever you had it, and they do something with it. Because what they do in turn is, whether they use it for parts and they break it down or they do whatever they need to do, they turn it around and use the funds that they can get to make sure that students have what they need in order to be successful. It could be a pair of glasses, could be a bus pass, could be a hot meal because people are in a situation where they can't eat right, and that helps them when they're in the thinking process trying to do well in school. Regardless of what it is, Houston Can Academies is making a difference. 713-225-4226 or HoustonCarsForKids.com. Mention you heard it on ESPN 97.5. Give up the car, not the kid. With that, Barry, we are back for the final segment. We have really run the gamut.
Yeah.
We've talked about shoes.
Yeah. Oh, and El Jefe was saying, oh, my God, you guys talk about shoes, too? This is my new favorite show for sure. And then he tweeted out his Instagram link to some of his kicks.
Yeah, he's done it in the past. He's shown us tons of his shoes. Yeah, because Trav is a sneakerhead, too. Trav's a big sneakerhead.
I like those Jordan 12s that he's got, those gray and orange ones.
See, the 11s were my favorite. Nice. And I always said this, Jordans are the best just if you wear them for Barry's sake. You wear them for fashion only. You don't wear them for athletic purposes.
No.
Jordan's playing hoops in them. I don't. Other than the threes, I'm not sure that there was a Jordan shoe that was comfortable enough to hoop in. just saying. Like, you wear Nikes if you want, like, great basketball shoes.
Well, now, as a kid, when I was in high school, and me and my foster brother used to play basketball, we played in Jordans. But those were like, I mean, that was the 89, 90, 91.
So what?
That was 90, 90 so, 91, 92.
So what number? So you're talking about like.
I don't know, whatever 91, like 92
six,
was.
Six, seven, eights?
Maybe.
Something like that, right?
Yeah, it was. But those were great to ball in, though. Those were light. They were nice.
I like the three quarters. Some of the three quarter ones were good. I think threes and fours I used to hoop in. But other than that, they're just not as cushioned and they're not as comfortable. But they're definitely fashion statements. And you know, people like you will actually pay way more than they have to.
Absolutely.
On the internet for shoes.
Well, I won't anymore because I'm down to donating sperm to pay my bills. So I have to. I can't pay for Jordans anymore.
Sees an invoice. For a specially purchased pair of tennis shoes.
Where'd you get them shoes? Well, just put it this way.
Travis
ain't gonna be no heat in this bedroom for a really long time.
Travis is great about it too, because Travis is be like, you know, I'll tell him like, you know, when Allison hit and I lost like 22 pairs of Jordans.
Ooh, oh, see,
and it really, obviously it bothers you a lot, but you can't recoup all of them because now with the way Jordans are collected, the value goes way up.
Oh, you can. You just have to have the
Travis
right
like,
channels.
Oh man, no, I got you.
Yeah,
and I'm thinking, you know, Travis Johnson, NFL salary forever, still collecting one, and. Also has a lot of other means of revenue, right? And owns business. I'm thinking, oh, Trav's got a guy that's going to be able to pull these for me at, you know, little to no price. He goes, hey, Joel, I got your shoes, the Jordan 11 Lowe's white with red patent leather. $250 good? I go, $250 what? He's like, yeah, if you just get this guy.
It's not bad, actually.
And it's not bad, but.
You know what I paid for mine.
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
But now I have a child.
Good.
I have a lot of things that can be more on the priority scale than another pair of shoes, especially when my wife, if I bring them home, goes, "That what is that, like your 963rd pair of shoes, because we really needed those." I probably will refrain from doing that. Just saying.
Yeah.
As opposed to the cats.
What? What the hell are the cats? Why are you bringing up the cats for no reason?
He
does. He just randomly throws
you know what?
Out.
I didn't mean the cats. I meant the jeans. Because the wife had a comment about the jeans. The wife was the one telling him to wear the jeans. Yeah. My wife just gets on my tail about my shoes. And because, like, I want to know, and maybe we'll throw this out tomorrow and next week, too. Because you're not here tomorrow. Travis is in. And yeah. I want both of you guys to chime in on this. But I'm also, and it'd be interesting from an ex-player's perspective, too. But I'm like, I'm a gear whore. I collect all the gear.
Uh-huh.
And I save it. You know, and I love it. And like when my dad, when I was little, my dad had some great stuff. My dad played, you know, he was drafted by the Yankees. He had a lot of professional uniform. He had lots of uniforms and things. I used to like digging into my dad's boxes and closets, and I'd find like a semi-pro team that was sponsored in Milwaukee by Miller Beer. And he'd have this badass, like kind of silky looking Miller jersey and the bullpen jacket to go with it, stuff like that. I was like, dude, if I can donate that someday and I'm lucky enough to have a boy and I can say, hey, when I worked for the Rockets, I saved all this gear. When I worked for the Bucks, I had all this gear. And have at it. I mean, I think the kid would be really cool because vintage stuff is going to have a day where it comes back.
Oh, yeah.
So I collect gear. My wife hates the fact that she thinks that I'm a hoarder because of it, but it's just gear and shoes.
Well, if you got a storage unit, you know.
And you know, with clothes, if you just pack it right, you can put it in the attic. It's fine.
You're balling out of control with a storage unit just for your shoe. What are you, Imelda Marcos?
Yeah, kind of.
Look at you.
Well, my wife does it with real shoes.
She's got the
heel collection and all these. She's got a ton of regular shoes. I mean, the Zappos boxes, and she just blames it because she needs it for work.
Mm-hmm.
So between the Zappos and the other places she gets shoes from, they just pop up like 3 or 4 times a week on the doorstep. That's okay. But if I get another pair of athletic shoes, even though I can say it's actually technically my work uniform now, it just doesn't fly the same way. I'm just letting you know.
You got to use the same.
You got to be authoritative, Joel. You got to wear the pants in the family.
Oh, I wear the pants.
You're the wife up here, but you be the man at the house.
Oh. If we had enough time. But we don't. And with that, we're getting ready to turn it over from the pre-vent to the Blitz. The Blitz is getting ready to finish off your Thursday afternoon the right way. It'll be Fred and AJ after the break. We appreciate it, and we'll talk to y'all tomorrow because we're here Monday through Friday, 1 to 4 p.m. Please be a part of the show, and we will talk to you tomorrow, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.